First Kings chapter 1. Let's read verses 5 through 8. When you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
You're alive. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? Well, that just seems kind of out of place there, doesn't it? But it's not really out of place. Tells us a lot. And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest. And they, following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok the priest and Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. Now that's not Shimei that cursed David, that's a different one. There's several of them in the Bible. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the good service we've had thus far. Sunday school lesson good, singing's good. Lord, pray you bless the word of God now. And I pray we'd receive it and assimilate it into our soul. And accept this knowledge and understanding that you offer us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, David's old. We talked about last week, he's pretty much bedfast. He's weak. And it's a real sad thing to me that in his old age, he has to find out who his friends really are. You'd think it would be a time of just rejoicing and remembering and reminiscing and rejoicing over all the good times in his life with his friends and family that's close to him. But no, instead, here we've got another rebellion by one of his sons. Again, another one. When Nathan told him long ago, the sword shall never depart from thine house, we really didn't understand the depth of it, did we? David's dying. He's in his last year. We talked about last week. It's probably the last year of his life. And this is where he's at. Now this morning, let's just talk for a few minutes about finding out who your friends are. How will the friends that we've had during our life, how will they behave in our last final days? I wonder, you ever think about that? Have you ever thought about it? Well, let me tell you something, you haven't figured it out. And neither have I. It's a thing that's one of those, kind of like a mystery of life. It's one of those things that's hidden from us that we can't really discern clearly. But hopefully, we can get a few things here this morning that'll help us in this matter about who our friends are, knowing who our friends are. Sad thing when you don't know who your friends are. Sad thing when a person treats their best friends like their enemies and treats somebody who's really their enemy like their best friend. That's foolishness. It's a fool who does that. That is to act foolishly. You ought to know who your friends are. And, there's true friends, and there are friends that are just what everybody calls fair weather friends. There's friends that'll stick with you. A friend sticketh closer than a brother. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And then there's a friend that just says he's your friend and acts like your friend till trouble comes. Or until you ain't no good to him anymore. There are friends who are friends because they love you. And they respect you. And they appreciate you. And they think of your honor. Here's the thing I want to point out. David had friends like that. They weren't all Abiathars. They weren't all Adonijahs. His whole family wasn't like that, thank God. And it never is. It never is. We don't want to develop a bad attitude about this matter and thinking, well, you can't trust nobody and I ain't got any friends. I've heard people say that kind of stuff. No, you better always, always look around you and count your blessings.
That's right.
You do have some.
Yes.
David had these rotten people that just hung around him and pretended to be his friends, but he also had some people who were loyal to the death to him, and they loved him, and they respected him, and they appreciated him, and they thought of his honor above their own. They thought of his life above their own life. Now that's a friend. Jesus told us that, didn't he? Didn't he said, no greater love hath this than any man, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we ought to lay down our life for the brethren, he said. So that's the measure of a friend. Some of these friends, so-called, may seem to be almost strangers during your lifetime, but hold you in higher regard than you realize. I'm surprised a lot of times at what people from the past really think of me. You know, I'm just talking about me and my life, because I've run across a lot of people. Some of them do not like me, hate me. Some of them just seemed indifferent. They really weren't. And it surprised me sometimes to find out positively, you know, not just negative. Every once in a while you find out that too. You find out somebody was really hating you when you thought they were loving you. Or when you thought they were indifferent. They weren't indifferent, they really hated you. But life's full of surprises like that. You can be assured that you have friends who have only been there because being associated with you was some kind of benefit to them. Yep. You can be assured that there are people around you like that. Some of those might very well even be those of your own household, like Adonijah, who's without natural affection. How could you not love your father, your earthly father? I mean, and especially if it's a man like David, how could you be that way? To not absolutely not care and just want what you want and be so proud that you're willing to dispose of anybody like a paper towel for your own benefit and your own lust and your own pride. But that's, David had that to deal with. And you may have some of those in your life too, very likely. Some of those might very well be those of your own household. It was David's own favored son, whom he had spoiled and indulged, and whom he had never denied anything. We read it just then. He'd never said no. He'd never said, why you do that? David's doting on him had not won the boy's love and loyalty, but had the opposite effect, and it always does.
Yes, sir.
There's just a thing about that. I've said it before to you, but I'll say it again. I'm old and I can do that now. I have noticed through the years that the people that, I'll just say the church, has helped the most in giving money, helping in all kinds of troubles, been there for them and everything. The people who I've seen helped the most hate the church the most. They don't love the church the most. They hate the church. It's almost always that way. And it's that way with children too. They need to be told no sometimes, just because it's good for them to be denied. Just, it is. It's a fact. David didn't do it. David reaped this. Now, how can we tell who'll be our friend in the end? You ever look around? Say, I ain't got any friends anyway. I don't believe that. Let me tell you something. Friends are not just the people you hang out with and party with and do things with. Those are not your friends. Your friends are the ones. Well, let me just go on here. There's some things to look for, but it's inevitable that we'll have some surprises when the time comes for us that where we see David at right here. How can we tell who our friends will be in the end? We're going to be surprised by some who are loyal and by some who turn on us and abandon us. That's a blessing and that's a
heartache.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. It hurts when people turn on you that you thought would never do so.
Yep.
David experienced that through his life too. You know, he said if it had been an enemy that done this to me, I could have borne it. But it was thou. my friend. Yeah. He went on talking about how we went to the house of God together. You were my friend, my own close, like a brother. And you did this to me. You turned on me. You don't really love me. That hurts. But it's also good to see people step up here. Some of these names we just read, I hadn't read them before. Hadn't heard of them before. But at the end, here they are. They're standing there. On the right side. Against the right, the wrong people. So basically, here's one way to tell who is going to be your friend in the end. Basically, it's those who will step up and stand with you in the bad times of your life. They're the ones that will still be standing with you in the end. Who are we talking about here? Who's these people that we're talking about here? Zadok, the priest. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. He's a son of a priest. Nathan, the prophet. And Shimei and Rei. See, those two I had never seen before. I mean, they sure didn't make a big splash in his life, but there they are in the end. And there's more besides this. David's mighty men didn't follow Adonijah. But some of them did. Some of the others did. Those that'll step up and stand with you in the bad times of your life are the ones that'll stand with you in the end. When it's going to cost them to stand with you while you're still living, they'll probably still be there when you're facing the end. I mean, that just shows that they really do care about you if they're willing to risk themselves for you. If they're willing to lay down their life for you while you're on the journey, then they'll probably still be there at the end of the journey. Mark those people. Now, it's not necessarily those who stand with us passively when the chips are down. Not just those who just stand there and watch. But those who put their oar in those times. Those are the ones. I'm thinking there's so many things I can say here, but I want to try to get them in the right place. The length of time that someone has been a part of our life is it's no proof that they're a loyal and true friend. Remember this guy named Abimelech? I mean, not Abimelech, Abiathar, I'm sorry. Remember him? Remember where he came from? Let me remind you, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 20 through 23. Saul has just slain all the priests because they gave David, because one priest gave David the sword of Goliath and some bread and helped him and had mercy on him. And Doeg the Edomite heard him, and he went and told him, and that's what brought it all about, see. And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar. This was back in the beginning. This was back when David first started running from Saul. Abiathar has been with him all this time. He escaped and fled after David, and Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, and fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. So, a lifetime of being with David. Abiathar had been with David for the lifetime. And then he turned against David in the end and cast his lot with such a character as Adonijah. What about that? Can you imagine that? It's not just how long they've been with you. No. Joab had been with David a long time. Longer than Abiathar. And he went after Adonijah too. While David's laying on his deathbed. When David is too weak and too feeble to keep his eye on everything, that's when they make their move. They've been waiting a long time. But they've always been the same. They've not really been loyal to David. Even though David had taken care of him for a lifetime, he evidently felt that he deserved more, or he harbored some kind of odd in his heart against David all those years. And it just comes out when the time's right. Then there are those who are not true. I can't get my mouth to work right here this morning. Now, those who are not true friends, they're of yours. They're able to identify who your real friends are. Y'all hear me? Yeah. Those who are not your true friends, they can identify who your true friends are. That's what happened here. Verses 9 and 10. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoeleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah, and the mighty men of, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. He had a list of culls. Mm-hmm. All the other sons, all the other servants of David, but not these guys. Here's a few right here I don't want to call. The mighty men, Benaniah, Nathan, and Solomon, of course. They were excluded from the party. They were excluded from this great victory and this great big thing that's going to be king. They weren't invited to the barbecue. Why? Well, because Adonijah knew them, and he knew they wasn't going to go with him. He knew they were going to be loyal to David. So here's some lessons. Watch those around you and see who excludes who. Yes. Yep. You'll know who your real friends are. Absolutely. Your false friends will tell you. Mm-hmm. They'll show them to you. Mm-hmm. Watch those who form alliances and are who continually feeling people out. Yeah. Those who are continually politicking and talking behind your back. Yep. And going about. That's what goes on in churches all the time. That's the way. People have different words, so they call it cliques. But it's people who are not true. And they're trying to form alliances so that they can gain control. And oppose the right authority. Watch those who report to you when someone you count as a friend is working against you. Yeah. You'll appreciate a tattletale then.
Yep, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Don't teach your kids not to tattle.
No.
I've always thought, what in the world's the matter with you? Yep. Teaching them to cover up evil? That's why Joseph's brethren hated him. He came and brought their evil report to his father's heap. Father, he told on them and they hated him. But who come out the best in the end? Who is your true friend? Somebody that'll hide secrets from you, of people trying to harm you and doing you terrible wrong? Are they really your friends now? They're going to hide it from you? No, they're not. But be very careful in all this here, because false friends will try to deceive you with these same tactics also. They'll pretend to be your friend telling on what somebody else has done. You better make sure the report is true.
That's right.
Don't lose confidence in everyone and despair of having true friends. David was being done a dishonor, and his own son, and many of those who were known to be David's friends were trying to usurp David's authority. He was the king. And God put him there. They were trying to usurp his position. And they were trying to change the course of the kingdom behind his back. Behind his back. Under the table. You know. This was a dirty, underhanded trick. Had to be done out of sight of David. They were not only were they dishonoring David himself, but God and his will for the kingdom. They totally ignored that. See, they had their own agenda, their own motives and purposes in all of this. God didn't have nothing to do with that. Now they said, God save King Adonijah. But that's just words that they use to try to smooth over the stink of what they're doing. God save King Adonijah. They didn't care nothing about God. Adonijah cared nothing for God. Neither did the rest of them that went with him, including Abiathar the priest. How much wisdom did he have? Follow somebody like that, a fool like Adonijah. A spoiled, selfish, proud, self-serving person such as that. And he went with him over David, instead of sticking with David. And Solomon in waiting. Abiathar had to know Solomon, had to know who he was like. We'll get to that in a minute here, but they were totally motivated by selfishness and pride and not by any noble cause or purpose. Adonijah, just like Absalom, you know, we talked about what a fool he was. I mean, remember I preached on a real loser, Absalom, being a loser? He didn't know what to do. He had no idea where he was going with this. Only thing, he's going to be the king. Adonijah is just exactly like him. He followed the same methods that Absalom. What did Absalom do when he wanted to be king? What did he had a big? He was shearing sheep, remember? Yeah. Having a big party. What's Adonijah doing? Yep. Mm-hmm. Slew sheep and oxen and cat and fat cattle. Having a big party. Yeah. Big barbecue. Yeah. Big cookout. Invite everybody. Plenty of beer and barbecue. Yeah. They were totally motivated by selfishness and pride. And he didn't have any purpose. Not any noble purpose. He didn't have any purpose other than just, I will be king. And at the same time, David had friends who would not stand idly by and let this happen. Thank God. For his loyal friends. Who was the leader of the loyal friends? Nathan the prophet. Nathan, who came to him, and the wounds, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Nathan came to him and said, you're the man. Remember? And this, I mean, had the boldness, had the confidence, had the righteous authority from God to stand face to face with David and tell him, you have sinned against God. How in the world can you think that this is right? What do most people do when a friend does that for them? Yeah, they're done with them. They're mad. How can you? You're no friend of mine. Oh, yes, that's your best friend you got, David. He's the one that's going to be there when the chips are down. He's the one that's going to watch over you and keep his eye on everything for you when you can't. And at great risk to their own lives, they stood with David and caused this evil to be stopped. Now, if Adonijah is really going to be king, and Joab's with him, and Abiathar's with him, and all these other people are with him, what's going to happen to Nathan and Solomon and Benaniah and all them when he gets to be king? What do you think he's going to do with them? He's going to kill them. That's what you do. So be thankful for faithful friends and watch out for those who are unfaithful. Now it's interesting, I'll be done here in just a second, but it's interesting to note the difference between Adonijah and Solomon here, both sons of David. Adonijah said, I will be king. You see that where we read it a while ago? I ain't just saying that. We read that right there. That's what he said. He said, I'll be king. I'm going to be the king. I'm taking over. I'm in charge. That's so unlike his father, who never aspired to be king, and who would never lift his hand against the Lord's anointed. Right. That's David's, I mean, that's his testimony all the time before he became king. That was his, I mean, that was what he lived by. what all Saul did to him, how he tried to kill him, chased him, all the injustices that were done to him, and all the opportunities he had, where all he had to do was just give the nod and he would have been king. But he didn't. He didn't aspire to it. He didn't say, "I'll be king. All right, it's time for me to take over. I got a right." Never did David do that. Solomon is here. Solomon's about to be the king. David's going to go ahead and do this thing. I mean, he said today. He's going to do it now. Right, didn't read all that and didn't get to it yet, but I mean, David's going to take care of business today. He's going to do it. The day, as soon as he hears what's going on, he's going to do something about it. But Solomon had to know what was going on. And he knew that he was said to be king. Bathsheba knew it. Nathan knew it. David knew it. David had said so. So Solomon knew it. Solomon knew that David, his father, had chosen him because God had chosen him to be king. God told David before Solomon was born, he was going to be the king. So Solomon knows all this. Think about it. He knows all this going on, Adonijah, what he's done and everything. But what did Solomon do? Nothing. He never said a word. He never raised his hand. He never looked for to raise an army or a posse or anything. You don't even hear anything about Solomon. He didn't do one thing about this insurrection, this attempt by his own brother to take over and take what really is his. That is very much like David. Solomon was like David. You know, I remember preaching years ago about Solomon dedicating the temple, and it was all about David. It wasn't about Solomon. Solomon's the king now, but David's name is what is mentioned throughout it all. David is the one they're thinking about all the time. That Solomon is praying. I mean, they were, and it says clearly that they were so thankful that God had given David a son to sit on the throne in his place, who was like him. The people that loved David were glad for another 40 years of this kind of kingdom. But Solomon didn't raise a hand. That's like his father. Now the outcome of this situation depended upon the loyal friends of David. Those who trusted him. Think about it. They trusted him. They loved him. Do you know how much that's worth? You don't. I don't. I mean, it's inestimable what it's worth. It's priceless. It goes beyond any kind of value to have people who trust you, love you, and honor you. Even though they knew that he would soon be gone. They know he's fading out. They know he's not even able now. He can't even stay warm. I mean, he's an old man, shivering and shaking and covered up and in bed fast. And people are rising up against him to make their move they've been waiting a long time for. They wanted to stay in close so they'd be in the know. And so they'd have all the right connections so they could make their move when it got to be the right time. Now they're doing it. And so everything depends on these few people who were close to David, who love him and trust him and honor him, even when they know he'll soon be gone. And those who obeyed his orders and carried out his wishes regardless of the cost to themselves. They didn't have opinions, Gary. They let the king be the king. He's the king.
Right.
He's got a right. Kings rule. He's got a right. God-given right. God sets up kings. He puts them on their throne. And he takes them down. And David is the king. Now to Adonijah and Joab And all the rest of them, they think he's just an old man. He's shot. He's done. He can't do nothing about it. He couldn't if he didn't have some people that believed in him. And people that were loyal to him. And that people are going to see that what he says gets done when he's not able to do it himself. David can't pick up a sword and go out there and say, now this is what you're going to do. But they can. And they do. So the kingdom was saved by those who stood with their friend when all was at stake for themselves also. What's going to happen to them if they lose this deal? See? There's just things in life that are more important than life, than going on living. You know? What did Patrick Henry say? He said a whole bunch besides this, and you ought to read it sometime, but he said, as for me, give me liberty or give me death. There's things worth dying for. I'd rather be free than to be a slave.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to here. Your real friends are going to be those who will do right.
Yep. That is
right. Always.
Yes.
Faithful means you always do what is right.
Yes.
You're not unpredictable. You're not changeable. Your opinions don't change, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Opinions change. Truth does not change. So your friends are going to be those who are anchored in the truth.
Yes.
God made David king. It's indisputable. It was in that day. There were those diehard people who were loyal to Saul, his family, who were just that way because of their own selfishness and pride. They wanted some of the piece of the pie,
yes.
See?
Yep.
And they couldn't have it. And so therefore, that's why they had these opinions. But it was indisputable that God had made David the king, and that he was the king of Israel. And it was saved by those few people who were loyal to him. Now pray God will give you friends like that. You better pray that he does. How you get friends like that? You got to be a friend like that. That's right. If you're my friend, you're my friend. It don't matter what comes or goes. A friend loveth at all times. At all times. No matter what. No matter what everybody else does or thinks. No matter what one or the other does or thinks. A real friend don't call you because you offend them with something.
Exactly.
A friend loveth at all times. How are you going to have them kind of friends? The kind of friends that you need in the day when you're dying. Well, you got to be that kind of friend while you're living.
That's right.
David was that kind of friend to Nathan. Mm-hmm. David was that kind of friend to Bathsheba. That's why she fell on her face and said, my Lord King David, live forever. Partners in sin, see.
Yeah.
But you see how God can change things.
Oh, yes.
David comforted his wife. Remember when we talked about that? He didn't call her. He didn't hate her. He took the responsibility for what he did. And she could go in confidence to him. How many women had that privilege and that confidence with David? Any of those other wives? Were they? Well, maybe David wasn't that kind of friend to them either. We got to consider that. And we see some people here. I could go on and on. I won't. But Jonathan was the son of Zadok, the priest, I believe. Or was he the son of Abiathar? I believe he's the son of Abiathar. I had it all in my mind, and now it's scrambled. But he wasn't with Adonijah, but he came to that bunch with message. And they said, come on in here. You're a good guy. Tell us the good news. And he said, our Lord King David has made Solomon king, and he's made him to ride on his own mule. And he said, they said, God save King Solomon. and all of David's mighty men. And he said, that's why all that noise is you're hearing. And that broke up the party right there. But Jonathan was really with David. His loyalty lied with David. He was the one that carried the messages when David was exiled because of Absalom. Jonathan and the son of Zadok were the ones who carried the messages to him. They were the, couriers, but spies for David. When you decide you're going to do somebody in, you better consider who their friends are. Pray God gives you the good sense and discernment to know who they are by the time you become unable to keep your eye on everything yourself. Better know who you can trust. They're going to be the same ones you've trusted all your life. The ones who've been faithful friends. Who've not turned on you. Who've not abandoned you. Who've not took the side of your enemies against you. They're the ones going to be there when it gets to where you can't take care of yourself. Pray that God gives you the wisdom and discernment to be loyal to your own loyal friends. Have you ever wondered at how Jesus addressed Judas? Friend. Wherefore art thou come? Friend. He called him his friend. How are you going to have this kind of friends? Well, just be that kind of friend to all of your friends. Their guilt is going to be even greater because you did them right and they did you wrong. You don't give an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I mean, that's not how you live this life. You do good to them which hate you. And we read it this morning or yesterday. Yeah. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Love your enemies. And you'll have some real true friends in the end. Isn't that what David did? I mean, we've learned so much from David. My soul.
Yeah.
How did David treat the house of Saul after he had become the king? He showed them mercy and kindness. And he did it on purpose. He searched for, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness? For Jonathan's sake, remember? There's a lot of old people around that's selfish and proud and low of character, and they're going to laugh and mock at you for things like that. But there's a few people among your friends that are watching, and they're going to remember those things. And they're not going to lift their hand against you because of what they saw in you. Pray God gives you the wisdom and discernment to be loyal to your own loyal friends. And then finally, pray God will help you to have a heart prone to forgive those who prove themselves unfaithful friends. Did you hear that? You can't be bitter and vengeful about it. When this was all over, Solomon was king, Adonijah lost. What happened there after that? Y'all know? Well, Adonijah came begging. And Solomon said, if you prove yourself to be a worthy man, everything will be okay. But otherwise, you're going to die. Well, he gave him a chance.
Yes.
Shimei, who rocked David and cussed him and everything, Solomon did the same for him.
But he failed.
He failed too. So did Adonijah. Adonijah come back wanting that woman that was really David's wife. I mean, she married. I mean, it was is this like asking for his wife? Mm-hmm. Solomon, well, that was the last straw. Adonijah died. He could have lived. But the point is, David and Solomon both had a heart to forgive. Give them another chance. But watch them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a little good truth there. Yeah. Everybody deserves a second chance, but watch him.
Mm-hmm.
If you prove yourself to be a worthy man. Shouldn't be bitter about those who turn against you. And that's a hard thing to do. But you got to cultivate that attitude in your heart. And the way you do it is you look at Jesus, you look at David, you look at God, you look at all through the Word of God at the examples that are given to us how to do that. Who do you count among your friends? Who do you think will be there? Who do you think will be on your side when the vultures are circling? Amen. Father, we thank you for the Word of God again. Lord, it's wonderful. Never ceases to fascinate me how rich it is and how life-giving and full of wisdom and light that it is. Oh, if we would just walk in it, if we could just conform our lives and our minds to it, what a difference our life could make. And will make when it's all over. Simple little truth here this morning about our friends and a lifetime of friends. We know so many people through our life, and we have so many people that we call our friends, but so many of them just come and go and come and go. A lifetime friend is a rare thing these days, and one that's loyal to the end is even more rare. But we see it here in the life of David. And I pray you'd help us to glean from this things of wisdom that we can apply to our own lives and walk so that when our time comes, there'll be somebody there who loves us and honors us and appreciates us and respects us and will stand for us when we can't stand for ourselves. Amen.